Extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM, thanks to Foodprint, the only food ordering app you need.
Mordina Sam, how are you today?
Good morning. How is everyone?
We're not doing too badly, not doing too bad at all. What's the vibe in your bubble at the moment? How's everyone getting on out there?
Pretty good. I think it's like the lack of little small social interactions that I think I'm starting to like really miss in the world.
Yeah, I feel that. I'd just love to randomly bump into someone that I cursorily know. You know, I see my friends on FaceTime or socially distanced, but you know, I just like to see that person whose name you don't know, but you see them at the club. You know, that's
100%.
That's it's who I'm missing.
Yeah, those unplanned conversations.
Exactly. Spontaneity. Yeah. Who is she? Yeah. It's good to have you on the show this morning, though.
Thank you.
And we're talking about tools of the trade today. What is the subject?
Okay, I'm really excited by this. So it's found in a lot of households nowadays as well, and it's traveled near and far. I'm talking about the wok. Do we own a wok at home?
I did say at the start of the show, we used to have quite a good wok in our flat, and then an old flatmate accidentally kind of burnt it beyond salvageability.
Oh, no.
So actually we're wokless at the moment.
My parents used their wok a lot when I was growing up, but it was just one of those things that when I left home, I never bought for myself. So I am totally wokless as well.
Right. Well, hopefully after this chat today, we will invest in some woks and talk about why they're amazing.
Yes, please.
Cool. All right. So a really brief history on woks. It kind of was started in around 200 BC, so a long, long time ago, but it wasn't used for cooking. So back then, it was used to only dry grains for storage.
True.
So almost like a dehydrator.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So not only until the 1400s where it was first believed that it was used for actually stir-frying and cooking.
Wow.
It took a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a long history for a tool to exist and then become what we use it as today.
100%. And since then, obviously, it's turned into many different iterations of how it is made, what type of material it is, but there is still this fundamental shape and idea of how it's used and the type of flavor it creates. So a wok is essentially a deep, round-bottomed cooking pot. You can find flat surfaces now because it's been modernized to fit electric stoves and kind of gas hobs without any dip, so you can't actually have any round-bottomed woks in them as well. Woks are used for stir-frying, steaming, pan-fry, deep-fry, poach, boil, braise, searing, stewing, smoking, and even roasting. So it's
so
kind of like
literally everything.
Yeah, and that's kind of why it's amazing, and in a lot of like Asian households will only just use a wok because you can kind of use it for everything.
That's
I've actually got three woks at home because I'm a little excessive, but each one has its own kind of a benefit. So I've got like a larger one that I predominantly use for more steaming, so there's more surface area,
mm-hmm.
And braising, larger braisers, and then I'll have smaller ones because my gas stove at home isn't as intense as restaurant ones,
right.
So then I would need a smaller wok to actually allow me to actually incorporate that fire flavor into it as well.
Mm.
So the most unique thing about wok cooking for me
is
conveyed by this term, this Cantonese term called wok hei, which directly translates to the breath of the wok. And it is that smoky, charry flavor that we get from wok cooking and specifically stir frying.
Yum.
Have we experienced this type of flavor
before?
Yes,
I know.
Now you mention it, yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't know it had a special name. It makes a lot of sense that it does because it is so specific to that type of cooking. Yes.
Yes. And it is only specific to Cantonese cooking as well. So it's not found in any other type of cuisine. Obviously, that has been moved its way into other parts of Asia, and that kind of wok hei flavor, specifically in the Southeast Asian cuisine, has been incorporated in that. But it is very specific, and how it works is essentially it is Maillard reactions of caramelizing sugar in meats and vegetable sugars. However, it is also the combination of the combustion of cooking oil that comes from exposing oil to fire briefly as it's stir-frying and thrown up in the air. So that is the only way that wok hei is imparted into food, by open flame physically touching fire.
Wow, that is so cool. We've had a question which I think sits in this world from a texter who would like to know, can you cook on an induction hob with a wok?
You can. To actually use an actual wok with a flat base, it would be very hard, because by the time you lift it off the heat to do the wok tossing, you're going to lose so much of that heat. And then what happens is that once it drops below a certain temperature, your food starts to seep out moisture and then it becomes a braise. So it would be very hard to use a flat surface to use a proper wok to gain that wok hei flavor. However, to get something very similar, if you used a cast iron thin pan, that could potentially give you a very similar flavor, because it's a similar material and you're gonna not lose that heat during that cooking process.
Okay, so that's how you
kind of need fudge an open fire though.
Yeah, so it's really one for having a gas stove, basically. Is that what if you've got one of those old school coil hobs?
I love a coil hob.
They seem like the sort of weird in-between space of an induction and an open flame. They've definitely got the dodginess of an open flame. What can you do with that? Is it the same as the sort of getting a thin cast iron pan rather? Or
yeah, I would say similar vibes to that. Unfortunately it goes back to this, where like we, I guess, as a community, we generally have our first exposure to Chinese food at a Chinese restaurant and Cantonese food, and then we would want to recreate it at home. But it's very specific to the setup that is found in restaurant environments.
So okay.
It is very hard to recreate at home.
So if you've not got a gas top, you can fudge it in some ways, but if you've got a gas hob at home, then this is absolutely such a good excuse to try out a different type of cooking, or maybe improve your wok usage. What is the best type of wok to own for someone starting out in their wok journey here, Sam?
To start out your wok journey, get one that's around or minimum 10 inches wide. So between 10 to 18 inches is really good. And then you want to get one that's made with carbon steel. It's relatively thin because it will conduct a lot of heat very, very quickly as well. And you kind of want it to be a rounder base. If you have an open fire gas hob at home, which allows for a dip. The reason for that being super important is because there are three zones to a wok. So there's three heat zones. There's the conduction zone, which is like kind of the main heat and the hottest part of the wok, which is in the base.
Okay.
And then as you move up towards the side, it's the condensation zone. So it's kind of like if your food's getting too charry, but you don't want to turn down the heat to allow the food to steam, you kind of move it off away from the middle and towards the side. And then if you are tossing it up in the air, you've got the convection zone, which is kind of like cooking it with steam. So it's a very complex, fast-moving cooking technique. And the reason for that is because when you start off really hot at first, you're searing all the meat and vegetables.
Yeah.
And what this does is that it locks in the moisture, which means you're locking in flavor and nutrients as well.
Yum. That's my little... that was like almost accidental. I was just thinking about stir fry and it's made me very hungry. If you were going to go and buy one, do you know where you can get a good one at the moment? Someone would like to know, where's a good place to get a wok?
Okay, so if you're like super beginner, honestly, a Kmart one is pretty good. Look for a carbon steel one. I think it's like $12 to $15.
Easy.
If you want to move up from there, there is a shop called... oh my gosh, the name has just passed me. It's in Pamua. It's an Asian grocery store, but they sell a ton of different types of woks with different material made as well.
If you remember, text us and we'll let the listeners know.
It's called New Gamsan.
Yes.
So New Gamsan. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, that sounds like you've got your beginners through to your sort of experts, who whatever sort of level of walking you're at, there's something for you. It's nice and cheap, I mean, to get started on it. Someone said that they always take a walk with them camping, which is very good, because if you've got your little grill when you're camping, that's a very easy one to use. Someone else has said they don't have a wok, but right now they're making nasi goreng with an egg on it for breakfast, which is a strong breakfast of champions, I have to say. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Inspirational.
Very inspirational. I do remember when I was a teenager, Sam, that there was like a club ski field near Christchurch, which I went to with some of my friends, and they had really, really huge cooking woks for making enough food to feed, like, you know, 50 people staying in the tramping hut there. And people used to use those woks late at night to sled down the hill.
So they
They weren't in the best of nick, but it was quite fun. So, yes, secondary purpose.
It just adds to the purpose of woks. It just adds to it.
Exactly. Well, thank you for bringing us a beginner's introduction into walking there. I'm excited to go and try it out. We definitely need to get a new one in our flat. So
amazing.
We will be getting on to that one ASAP. Have a lovely rest of your morning, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes.
See you soon.
Food for thought. Breakfast food on 95 BFM. Thanks to Foodprint, the only food ordering app you need.
Someone says Wiley.